Good morning. I'll need your prayers this morning up around here, but welcome to St. Mark's Lutheran Church. God be praised for another Sunday where we get to surround ourselves with His Word, where we get to focus on today His Word. We're going to take a look at His Word, how He fulfills it every time, and how it's all fulfilled in Christ, the Anointed One. You'll see that reflected throughout the service, and just so you know, there's going to be a change from our worship folder. So in our worship folder, we're supposed to start with hymn 735. We're actually going to flip that with the children's choir. We're going to start with the children's choir, and we'll sing hymn 735 after the first lesson. So, God bless your worship this morning. Bring on the children's choir. Okay, we begin with we begin on page 3 here. Now we continue. Please stand. The call to worship. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Beloved in the Lord, let us draw near with a true heart, and confess our sins to God our Father, asking Him in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ to grant us forgiveness. Holy and merciful Father, I confess that I am by nature sinful, and that I have disobeyed You in my thoughts, words, and actions. I have done what is evil, and failed to do what is good. For this I deserve Your punishment, both now and in eternity. But I am truly sorry for my sins, and trusting in my Savior, Jesus Christ, I pray, Lord, have mercy on me, a sinner.
Christ,
God, our Heavenly Father, has been merciful to us, and He's given His only Son, Jesus, as the atoning sacrifice for our sins. Therefore, as a called servant of Christ and by His authority, I forgive you all your sins in the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. We respond to that forgiveness with hymn 283, Speak, O Savior, I am listening. You may be seated. Be with you. Let us pray. Almighty God, you sent your Son to proclaim your kingdom and to teach with authority. Anoint us with the power of your Spirit that we too may bring good news to the afflicted, bind up the brokenhearted, and proclaim liberty to the captive. Through Jesus Christ, your Son, our Lord, who lives and reigns with you and the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever. So here we go. As we are celebrating God's Word, we're going to go to God's Word for blessing. The first lesson here from Nehemiah 8 shows us how much of a blessing that word can be, as those people who came back from exile recognized the law, but also were encouraged by the word of their leader. From Nehemiah chapter 8. All the people came together as one in the square before the water gate. They told Ezra, the teacher of the law, to bring out the book of the law of Moses, which the Lord had commanded for Israel. So on the first day of the seventh month, Ezra the priest brought the law before the assembly, which was made up of men and women and all who were able to understand. He read it aloud from daybreak till noon as he faced the square before the water gate in the presence of the men, women, and others who could understand. And all the people listened attentively to the book of the law. Ezra opened the book. All the people could see him because he was standing above them. And as he opened it, the people all stood up. Ezra praised the Lord, the great God. And all the people lifted their hands and responded, "Amen, amen." Then they bowed down and worshiped the Lord with their faces to the ground. They read from the book of the law of God, making it clear and giving the meaning so that the people understood what was being said. Then Nehemiah the governor, Ezra the priest and teacher of the law, and the Levites who were instructing the people, said to them all, "This day is holy to the Lord your God. Do not mourn or weep." For all the people had been weeping as they listened to the words of the law. Nehemiah said, "Go and enjoy choice food and sweet drinks, and send some to those who have nothing prepared. This day is holy to our Lord. Do not grieve, for the joy of the Lord is your strength." The word of the Lord. Now we go to hymn 735 in the Blue Song Books. Very fitting for today. Speak, O Lord. The second lesson this morning comes from Acts chapter 4. This will also serve as the sermon text for today. From Acts chapter 4. On their release, Peter and John went back to their own people and reported all that the chief priests and the elders had said to them. When they heard this, they raised their voices together in prayer to God. "Sovereign Lord," they said, "you made the heavens and the earth and the sea and everything in them. You spoke by the Holy Spirit through the mouth of your servant, our father David. Why do the nations rage and the peoples plot in vain? The kings of the earth rise up and the rulers band together against the Lord and against his anointed one. Indeed, Herod and Pontius Pilate met together with the Gentiles and the people of Israel in this city to conspire against your holy servant Jesus, whom you anointed. They did what your power and will had decided beforehand should happen. Now, Lord, consider their threats and enable your servants to speak your word with great boldness. Stretch out your hand to heal and perform signs and wonders through the name of your holy servant Jesus." After they prayed, the place where they were meeting was shaken, and they were all filled with the Holy Spirit and spoke the word of God boldly. The word of the Lord. Now, the verse of the day always kind of encompasses the main idea and thought of our worship, and we see that here in Matthew 4:23. Alleluia. Jesus went throughout Galilee, teaching, preaching, and healing every disease. Alleluia. Now, please stand in honor of the words of Jesus in the gospel. The lesson from one of the four gospels this morning comes from Luke chapter 4. Here we see Jesus boldly proclaim that he is the fulfillment of this word. From Luke 4. Jesus returned to Galilee in the power of the Spirit, and news about him spread through the whole countryside. He was teaching in their synagogues, and everyone praised him. He went to Nazareth, where he had been brought up, and on the Sabbath day he went into the synagogue, as was his custom. He stood up to read, and the scroll of the prophet Isaiah was handed to him. Unrolling it, he found the place where it is written, "The Spirit of the Lord is on me, because he has anointed me to proclaim good news to the poor. He has sent me to proclaim freedom for the prisoners and recovery of sight for the blind, to set the oppressed free, to proclaim the year of the Lord's favor." Then he rolled up the scroll, gave it back to the attendant, and sat down. The eyes of everyone in the synagogue were fastened on him. He began by saying to them, "Today, this scripture is fulfilled in your hearing." The gospel of the Lord. We now join together to confess our faith in the Anointed One, Jesus, according to the words of the Apostles' Creed. I believe in God, the Father Almighty, maker of heaven and earth. I believe in Jesus Christ, his only Son, our Lord, who was conceived by the Holy Spirit, born of the Virgin Mary, suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, died, and was buried. He descended into hell. The third day he rose again from the dead. He ascended into heaven and is seated at the right hand of God the Father Almighty. From there he will come to judge the living and the dead. I believe in the Holy Spirit, the Holy Christian Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and the life everlasting. Amen. You may be seated. If there are any children who want to come forward for a children's message, they can meet me here at the front step. Such a good problem to have, isn't there? Not enough room to sit for all the kids in church. You guys can sit down. You'll have to look at me this way, though. It's going to be kind of hard for me to get down in front of you today, so I'm going to sit right here. All right. Anybody here know what anointing means? Anointing. Oh, now you're on the spot. Think about it. Anointing. Someone who's been anointed? Good. Do you know what that means? Okay, chosen for a position, right? By whom? In the Old Testament, it was chosen by God. And you know what they used to do? Back in the Old Testament, when somebody was chosen for a special position, like a king, or a prophet, or a priest, they would anoint them. That means that they would pour oil on their heads. It marked them as a special servant of God. So what we're going to do is, I'm going to anoint this baby to give you an idea of what I'm talking about. And I have here some very special oil. This is just vegetable oil, but in the Old Testament they use a special oil in a ram's horn. And when someone was chosen, like a king, a prophet, or a priest, to mark them as God's chosen, they would just pour oil on the person's head. Now this was a mark that this person was very, very, very special. And guess what? Guess who is the anointed one, the one that we praise as the anointed one in Scripture? Jesus is, that's right. Did you guys know that Christ actually means the anointed one? And Jesus was anointed as a king, as a prophet, as a priest. But he was anointed with something very special. It wasn't oil, it was the Holy Spirit. And he sat there in the synagogue and he declared to everyone, "Today I am this anointed one." This scripture is fulfilled in your hearing. But do you know how they responded? People in Jesus' hometown actually didn't care. And sadly, sometimes we can be the same way. We know Jesus is our anointed one, but sometimes we don't care. But guess what? As the anointed one, guess what Jesus did? It was all fulfilled in heaven, it'll be all be totally fulfilled, you're right. But what did he do to fulfill that ultimately? Died on the cross for our sins. And that proved that he fulfilled that word and that he was that anointed one. And guess what that means? It means that we're forgiven. So let's say a prayer to God, thanking him and asking for some help. All right, we pray. Fold your hands, bow your heads. Lord Jesus, we thank you for coming as the anointed one. And we thank you for fulfilling your word. Lord, please forgive us for the times when we take that for granted. And help us not just know the word, but also preach the word with confidence. We ask everything in your name, Jesus. Amen. All of you can go back to your seats, and we'll continue with the hymn of the day, hymn number 85. 85.
Thank you.
God's word is yours, brothers and sisters, and it is from the Almighty Lord himself. Amen. Sermon text for today comes from the second lesson from Acts chapter 4. Let's begin with prayer. O Lord, open my lips, and my mouth will declare your word. Amen. Stop preaching about Jesus. Don't worry, that's not what I'm telling you. That's what they say. Who are they? They can be some atheists who think that religion in general, or especially Christianity, is despicable. They can be people out there who want tolerance for everything and anything, therefore don't tell them they're doing something wrong and that Jesus had to pay for something. They can be those who don't want to feel guilty about their sin. They can be our friends who have gone through that path early in life but willingly gave it up years ago. They can be our children after for the millionth time telling them you should go to church or some other eternity-focused encouragement. They can be our own hearts when that fear or that selfishness or that complacency raise their ugly heads. Stop preaching about Jesus. That's what the disciples were told when they healed a lame beggar and they had to give an account before the Jewish leaders. So they listened, gave up the gospel, and no one outside of Jerusalem ever heard about Jesus again. Not exactly. No, they preached Jesus, and then they were seized, they were thrown in prison, they had to give an account before the Sanhedrin, and they were persecuted. Imagine the fear and apprehension that must have risen up in the disciples' hearts. And so what did they do? They prayed. Last week we looked at a prayer in Ephesians, a prayer for strength and knowledge and fullness in our inner being. This week we're gonna take that one step further. This week we're asking for that strength, that knowledge, and that fullness to give us confidence in God's word and boldness with his word. Confidence and boldness, two very important things, good things to ask for because we really need it, especially when it comes to sharing God's word. That can be a tough thing to do. And if you're going to have confidence in God, in his word, you got to have confidence in God, the one who wrote it. You got to have confidence in who he is. So often, even though this is our greatest comfort when sharing the word, this is also the first thing we forget. This is God's word. Sometimes we take him to be this itty bitty little God. What does he know? What does he see? What strength does he have? We make him so small. But answer this. Who would win if they went toe-to-toe in a foot race? Olympic runner, Usain Bolt, or God? God would, right? Not even fair. God's present everywhere. Who would win in a battle of smarts? God or Terence Tao? World-renowned mathematician who has a reported IQ of 230. God would. Again, not fair. He knows everything. Okay, who would win in a battle of strength? God or Hafþór Björnsson, the winner of the World's Strongest Man competition? God, right? Hands down. Easy peasy. He's all-powerful. We could go on all day, and yet we still forget that sometimes. There's nothing more powerful than God. So who's going to win? God or that atheist argument? God or your friend's excuse? God or that fear or reason for apprehension in your heart? hands down, God's going to win. We let ourselves forget who God is, and we make him itty-bitty. And when we make God itty-bitty, we do the same with his word. The words in the Bible become itty-bitty words in an itty-bitty book. How much would all of us love if the sovereign Lord of the universe would sit there right in front of us and talk to us every day? And that's what he does when we open up his word. That's him talking to us, and yet, again, we can forget that. Why is that? Why do you think that we don't have confidence in that fact? I think it's because we make the word just another thing. We get so busy with this life. I've got work, I've got taking care of kids and parenting, I've got kids' programs and sports, I've got housework, got a honey-do list that's 50 projects long, and what usually takes a back seat? God's word. Because we don't have confidence in the fact that it actually has an impact sometimes in our life, day to day. And when we do that, not just for ourselves, it actually affects our confidence in the word when we share it, too. If we get to a moment where we get to share God's word, a lot of times we think, forget it. It's not going to matter. They're just going to reject it anyway. So why would I? Again, lack of confidence in the word. You and I, when we make God itty-bitty, we make his word an itty-bitty book. The problem with that is, though, that God's word is not an itty-bitty book. No, the disciples knew that, and they reminded themselves of that before they prayed. They wanted to remind themselves of who God is and how sure his Bible is. They said, "Sovereign Lord, you made the heavens and the earth and the sea and everything in them. You spoke by the Holy Spirit through the mouth of your servant, our father David." Sovereign means to rule over everything. And he doesn't just rule over everything, as they pointed out. He made everything. Therefore, of course, he has power over everything. And look at what they were going up against. It's an important reminder for them because they had the highest governmental authority, the highest judicial authority, telling them to stop preaching Jesus. So with that fear and apprehension, they recognize, no, God is more powerful. And not just that, but his word is sure. They totally affirm the inspiration of the scriptures. They knew that this psalm they were about to quote was written by David about 1,000 years before that. But they also knew that it was written by the Holy Spirit. He's the one that spoke through David. And the psalm that they quoted, Psalm 2, was very fitting for their time and for ours. "Why do the nations rage and the peoples plot in vain? The kings of the earth rise up and the rulers band together against the Lord and against his anointed one." Peoples, kings, rulers from every generation have gone against the Lord and against his word. And yet, as David says, it's always been in vain. In fact, the Psalm 2 here continues, and it says that God laughs. He scoffs at them. Why? Because toe to toe, no one can stand up to God. Nothing. How many times does he have to prove it with his power? How many times does he have to fulfill his word until those who oppose him and our hearts that doubt him finally realize, no, God fulfills his word. And if you want proof of that, you look no further than Jesus himself. Jesus was the anointed one. He was the one who was going to be prophet, priest, and king. And guess what he did? As a king battles their enemies, Jesus defeated sin, death, and the devil. And now today, he rules over everything for us. As a prophet speaks the word of God, Jesus did that. He was preaching and teaching, and now he does that through you and me. And as a priest, Jesus offered himself as a sacrifice once and for all. And now he intercedes to the Father for you and me. Fulfilled every single time. And the disciples emphasize this. The very next thing they say is, "Indeed, Herod and Pontius Pilate met together with the Gentiles and the people of Israel in this city to conspire against your holy servant Jesus, whom you anointed. If you look at it closely, that's a thought-for-thought match with Psalm 2. They're emphasizing that God fulfilled it. They did what your power and will had decided beforehand should happen. Surprise, surprise. The Almighty God of the universe once again fulfilled His word. Word fulfilled, forgiveness given, now forgiveness proclaimed with confidence and boldness because of who God is and what He can do. Jesus, the Word made flesh, the Christ, the Anointed One, fulfilled it again. That's why you and I can have confidence. And not only does remembering Jesus give us this confidence, but it also gives us something else. It gives us boldness. That's the next thing the disciples pray for. Now, Lord, consider their threats and enable your servants to speak your word with great boldness. Stretch out your hand to heal and perform signs and wonders through the name of your holy servant Jesus. First of all, notice what they didn't pray for. They didn't pray for the persecution to get stopped. They didn't pray for their enemies to be crushed. They simply prayed that they could speak the word of God more boldly and that they have miracles that could back that up and confirm their message. And think about that. What had speaking the word of God and performing miracles like healing the lame beggar brought them so far? They were captured, seized, imprisoned. They had to give an account before the authorities. They were pressured to stop. And yet, what do they pray for? Lord, please, more healings. Allow us to speak the word of God more boldly. But they did that. They prayed for that. So you and I do the same. We pray, Sovereign Lord, help us overcome our selfishness and self-focus in this life and put others and their eternity as a priority. Give us boldness. Sovereign Lord, help us to prioritize your word in our lives and help us realize that other people going to heaven is just as important as us. Give us boldness. Heavenly Father, Sovereign Lord, give us boldness to stick to our guns, to stick to your guns in the Bible. Help us hold firm to your truths and not waver from them. Give us boldness. And that last one is particularly important, especially in this day and age. Someone had shared an article with me this week. The whole article, the whole point was looking at how young atheists look at Christianity these days. And the idea was to try to understand that so that we can reach out to them more. And one of the main points they made was that young atheists actually have a lot of respect for people who take their Bible seriously. One of the atheists said, I really can't consider a Christian a good moral person if he isn't trying to convert me. And another echoed that, saying, I don't respect people who don't proselytize. I don't respect that at all. If you believe that there's a heaven and hell and people could be going to hell or not getting eternal life or whatever, and you think that it's not really worth telling them this because it would make it socially awkward, how much do you have to hate somebody to believe that everlasting life is possible and not tell them that? If we think sticking to our guns, to God's guns in the Bible, is going to hurt our reaching out with the word, it's not. And if we think that ours is the first time that fear and apprehension have risen in God's people's hearts, it's not. Just look at the disciples. Why do you think they prayed what they prayed? And God, being God, answered and fulfilled it. After they prayed, the place where they were meeting was shaken, and they were all filled with the Holy Spirit and spoke the word of God boldly. Guess what? God fulfilled it again. A miracle of everything being shaken. We hear about more miracles in Acts. So you and I think, well, Lord, give us miracles. Give us healings. Come on, that'll help affirm your word. And yet, God does give us miracles. We just can't see them. When you have that fear or apprehension rise in your heart, and you try to convince yourself this person isn't going to want to hear this, When that's overcome with confidence in the Word, that's a miracle. Think about who we are by nature. That's a miracle. When you and I think to ourselves, this Word isn't going to do anything, and yet we're reminded again from God's Word, no, the Holy Spirit is there. The Holy Spirit is working through that. That's a miracle. And when we proclaim that Word and people come to faith, they go from darkness to light. They go from blindness to sight. They go from eternal death and hell to eternal life in heaven. That's a miracle. God fulfills it with us too. Imagine if God did not fulfill this prayer for the disciples. You and I wouldn't be here. But He did, and we are. So the question is, who's going to say the same thing about us someday? Someday, somebody's going to say, if Justin Malone didn't tell me about Jesus, I wouldn't be going to heaven. Someday somebody's going to say, if Shea Patrick didn't encourage my mom that day, then I wouldn't know the peace of God. Someday somebody's going to say, if Robert Smith didn't invite my grandparents to church, then my kids might not be going to heaven. Stop preaching about Jesus. No way. No way. With how sure His Word is, with how the Holy Spirit's been working through it through generations, and with the blessings that it gives, no, we will. We'll preach it confidently, and we'll preach it boldly. Sovereign Lord, help us, Your servants, speak Your Word boldly. Amen. Please stand. You may be seated as we support the proclamation of God's Word. Thank you. We now get to pray confidently and boldly and together, responsively, with the prayer of the church found on page 11 in your worship folders. O Lord, light of the world and saving strength of your people, we thank you for the gift of your word. Implant it in the hearts of your people so that, set free from the power of Satan and the fear of death, we may live to serve and honor you. Bless the proclamation of your word everywhere, so that hearts may be turned from the darkness of spiritual ignorance, falsehood, and despair, to the light of knowledge, truth, and life. Let your word shine in our homes, that parents and children may dwell together in love and serve one another in kindness and humility. Watch over the sick, the sorrowing, the anxious, and the weary. Preserve those who are in any danger of body or soul.
Supply us by the grace of Jesus with the Spirit's power, that we may ever be comforted by your truth and sustained by your love.
All-powerful and all-loving God, we thank you for comforting those who are sick, suffering, or undergoing or recovering from surgery, including Pamela Baker's father, Cynthia Rogers' sister, Lois Brower's son-in-law, Aaron Lucklean's mother, and the Ennis' daughter-in-law. If it is your will, fully heal them and take away their pain. If it is not your will, strengthen their faith so they can see your loving hand even in the midst of their discomfort. Giver of all good things, we thank you for blessing all married people, especially those celebrating anniversaries. Continue to give them a strong faith in you and a rich love for each other. Maker and preserver, we thank you for blessing all of those who are celebrating birthdays as well. As they remember their birth into this world, remind them also of their rebirth through water and the Spirit. Compassionate Lord of all, we thank you for the resurrection of Jesus. Bless those families who have suffered loss, such as the family at Messiah Lutheran who lost their 3-year-old child. Bless them with the assurance that all of our times are in your hands. Place your grace and your faithfulness before them, that they may find true comfort and reassurance in your love and in your word. Now hear us, Lord, as we bring you our private petitions. For these and all other things you know we need, we confidently ask them in the name of him who gave himself for us, that we might live through him, Jesus our Lord. Amen. Our Father in heaven, hallowed be your name. Your kingdom come, your will be done, on earth as in heaven. Give us today our daily bread. Forgive us our sins, as we forgive those who sin against us. Lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For the kingdom, the power, and the glory are yours, now and forever. Amen. Now we ask for God's blessings via a song, hymn number 542, Dear Lord, to your true servants give. Please stand for prayer and to receive the blessing. We pray. Blessed Lord, you have given us your holy scriptures for our learning. May we so hear them, read, learn, and take them to heart, that being strengthened and comforted by your holy word, we may cling to the blessed hope of everlasting life. Through Jesus Christ, our Lord, who lives and reigns with you and the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever.
Amen.
The Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make his face shine on you and be gracious to you. The Lord look on you with favor and give you peace. You may be seated for our closing hymn, a very fitting one, number 293 in the Red Songbooks.
Good morning, everyone. I'd like to welcome all of our visitors and welcome our members to worship this morning. I'm Greg Thiesfeldt. I'm principal of the school. We also welcome any visitors who are not members of our church. It was great to have all the children singing at the beginning of the service, so thank you, children and teachers, for that. It was a good start with a bump bump at the beginning of the service. There is not any school video today. Usually the last Sunday of the month we have a school video, but we're saving all of that for February, so we'll have a double-sized one next time. Did you know that this week coming up brings the 100th day of school? You have that marked on your calendars? Well, it is. On Friday, it's the 100th day of school. And we want to thank our members here at St. Mark's and our families for their support and cooperation as we continue with our school year. A couple of other announcements for your attention. There is an insert in your bulletin, a blue insert looks like this, Friends Who Need Jesus. If you look at those hexagons, you see that there's space. What you can do is you can put the names of family, friends, and anybody that needs our prayers and our support. You can put those names in there. Good idea to put that on your refrigerator and remind yourself to pray for those people and encourage them. Just something that we can do to build each other up as Christians. This is the last chance for signing up for that picture directory. We're hoping that we could have enough people to do that directory. There's a sign up out there. Mrs. Stewart is there at the table just waiting for you to sign up to have your picture taken. And those pictures start this week on Tuesday. There is a Bible information class that begins tonight, first session of Bible information, that begins at 5 o'clock p.m. this afternoon in the Luther Room. We'll ask you to continue praying for Mr. John Kulhonik, who is holding the call to be our 7th and 8th grade teacher. Mr. Kulhonik serves in Florida, Seminole, Florida. He's a teacher at Bay Pines Lutheran School. And we're calling him to be our 7th and 8th grade teacher next year and also to serve as our athletic director. So keep John and his wife Rachel in your prayers. In the weekly news update, there's something about the prime timers potluck, and we just want to remind you to check that out. That is not going to be held at Carolyn Welch's house, but it's going to be at Sue Covey's house, so take note of that. Coming up, we have a quarterly potluck on September 10th. That's a couple of weeks from now. Also, something to get on your calendars, a long-term thing. We have a community cook-off, which has been a great success, and that is on our calendar for September 21. Now, I know that's 9 months away, but we want to get that on our calendars. It's a big event. We bring a lot of people to our church, to our campus. September 21, community cook-off. Another event coming up next Saturday, February the 2nd, from 10 to 12, from 10 a.m. to 12 noon, we have a play day, and this is an event that we have to try to bring people to our campus who might be interested in Christian education for their children, to encourage them and to have fun. So this is a family event. We're focusing especially on children who would be eligible to enroll for junior kindergarten or kindergarten next year. You can see the main page for those details. The main page is out in the lobby too, blue sheet of paper with that and other news on it. So I won't tell you everything else that's on there. And so that and other announcements are in the weekly update. And so with that, I wish you a great day. Enjoy your Sunday, and God bless your week.